नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 67. Coming up.
Mataram, pitaram, vatrin, cha. Did I miss something? Oh, sorry. Sarvancha. I do it again. Sarvancha. Suradha. Tata. Gunanti. He asu tripaha. Labdha. Rajana. Priyasha. Bhuvi. Mataram pitaram pratram sarvamscha suradastata gvananti yasutrapo lubdha rajana prayasho bhuvi. Mataram pitaram varatran sarvamscha suradastata gvananti yasutrapo lubdha rajana prayasho bhuvi. Mataram pitaram varatran sarvamscha suradastatam gvananti yasutrapo lubdha rajana prayasho bhuvi.
Chant. Be. Mataji's, please. Mataram unto the mother, Pitaram unto the father, Patran unto brothers, Sarvancha, and anyone else, Suradaha, friends, Tata, as well as, Gunanti, they kill, as it is practically seen. He, indeed, Asu, Tarpa, those who envy the lives of others for their personal sense gratification. Lubdaha, greedy. Rajanaha, such kings. Prayashaha, almost always, Bhuvi, on the earth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Please repeat. Kings greedy for sense gratification on this earth almost always kill their enemies indiscriminately. To satisfy their own whims, they may kill anyone, even their mothers, fathers, brothers, or friends. Purport. We have seen in the history of India that Aurangzeb killed his brother and nephews and imprisoned his father to fulfill political ambitions. There have been many similar instances, and Kamsa was the same type of king. Kamsa did not hesitate to kill his nephews and imprison his sister and his father. For demons to do such things is not astonishing. That's their nature. Nonetheless, although Kamsa was a demon, he was aware that Lord Vishnu cannot be killed, and thus he attained salvation. Even partial understanding of the activities of Lord Vishnu makes one eligible for salvation. Kamsa knew a little about Krishna, that he could not be killed, and therefore he attained salvation, although he thought of Vishnu, Krishna, as an enemy. What then is to be said of one who knows Krishna perfectly from the description of Shastras like Bhagavad Gita? It is therefore the duty of everyone to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Krishna perfectly, this will make one's life successful. Omagina timidandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmaritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. What I'd like to do now is backtrack a little bit and bring that up to a point to try to explain a little more about Narada Muni's mission in regard to his visit to Kamsa. It's actually very fascinating and very ironic, especially the way it plays out when all the facts are kind of put together. Backtracking, going back to the beginning of creation when Lord Brahma created beings out of his own mind, out of his own body. One of those beings was named Maricha, or Marichi. So Marichi happened to have six sons. And those six sons were raised by Marichi and his wife. But then one day, when they were grown up, Lord Brahma chanced to pass by them, and he was following his daughter lustfully. So the six sons of Marichi, instead of restraining their speech and maybe discussing this amongst themselves or with their father or even with Lord Brahma, made a very sarcastic, derogatory remark about this, about its impropriety. It doesn't say exactly what they said, but it would be something like, how could he do such a thing? Lord Brahma, you know, our grandfather, something like that. So Lord Brahma, you know, being the chief of the gods, he did not appreciate his grandson's remarks. Not so much for their truthfulness, but for the fact that they were taking a position of judgmental, being judgmental to a superior person. In other words, putting themselves in a superior position, judging Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma thought this was not a proper thing to do, and they were acting very much like ordinary human beings, if not demons. And he felt that they deserved to be cursed and be placed in a proper environment where such types of expressions and such types of crudeness could manifest more freely. So he cursed these six to be born in the family of demons. And they became the sons of a person whom we have met, whom we know of, whose name was Kalanimi. Kalanimi was the son of Hiranyakashipu. So they grew up and they were rather strong and powerful. And they were close with their grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, up to an extent. But then they wanted to go outside the family setting. And they desired to gain greater power than they already had. They were already quite powerful. So they wanted to get more power. So instead of going to Hiranyakashipu, who is considered among the most powerful on earth or in the world outside of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, they decided to worship Lord Brahma regularly to gain certain mystic powers. And eventually they gained those powers, and their grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, found out about this. And he said, why did you go to Lord Brahma and worship him? And why did you leave off your worship of me? So they said, well, we just felt we should do that. He said, well, you felt wrong. You should not have done that. It was disrespectful. You went out of our family. I could have given you whatever you needed, but you felt that maybe I was not good enough, not high enough, not strong enough, not powerful enough to do what you wanted to gain, what you wanted to gain. This is offensive. It's insulting. And for that, I will curse you. You are now cursed to be born as the 6 sons of Devaki in the future. And the person who will kill you is Kamsa, who presently is your father, Kalanimi. Quite a sentence there. So, therefore, that's how that whole thing got going. So there was a curse. And Hiranyakashipu's curse, they do come true. They are filled with tremendous potency. Only Lord Vishnu, he can repel them. Or some of the great saints can repel them. Nonetheless, it has not, the curse had not been repelled. So let us bring it back to the present where we are in the book. And Vasudev, first son, was delivered to Kamsa as by promise. And Kamsa received the son and looked at the son and smiled at it. And as Prabhupada said, he felt a little compassion for the little baby. And then he said, no. He said, you take it. Take it back. It is the 8th son that is going to kill me. So why should I kill this child? So Vasudev was very pleased and yet not exactly completely satisfied. Not satisfied because he knew the nature of Kamsa. Demons are very unpredictable, unreliable, undependable, impulsive, whimsical, can change their minds at any given moment. So therefore, although he had the child, he knew that the possibility was there to not have the child also in the future. So he went back home, and Devaki was very happy to see her child wasn't killed. And not only that, but none of the other children are going to be killed because it's the 8th one that Kamsa said should be the one to be killed because he was the one that the prophecy mentioned would kill him. It was at that time that Narada Muni came and paid a visit to Kamsa. And he confided certain things to him. Just give me a moment to recall that. Yes, so Narada Muni confided a few things to Kamsa. One of the things that he confided was that the prophecy stated that you would be killed by the 8th son of Devaki, but 8 can come any which ways, as it was mentioned yesterday. You can count from top to bottom, you know, 8, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 on the bottom, or you can count from the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or you can count from the middle, 1, 2, 3, 4, and go down to the bottom, 1, 2, 3, it could be the 5th. So he said to Kamsa, it could be any one of the children that Devaki gives birth to. Not necessarily the 8th as you think, the last one. So that made Kamsa very, very frightened. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. And his fear came to complete terrible anger. Another thing Narada Muni told him is that in the past, your name was Kalanimi, and you were killed by Lord Vishnu. And you are destined to be killed again by Lord Vishnu. Oh, that made him even more enraged. In other words, look, Vishnu is going to appear in this world, and to assist him, the persons of the Yadu dynasty, they're all demigods who have incarnated to give him assistance in helping to kill you. So he was getting even more angry and more frightened. Because he was killed in the past, that was enough to make him vengeful. Vishnu killed him, and he couldn't get even, couldn't get back. So that was a reason itself for him to want to kill Vishnu. But Narada Muni said Vishnu is invincible. But a demon doesn't take good advice. In other words, invincible means don't try to kill him. But as far as Narada Muni was Kamsa was concerned, he was just raging mad. So a few things happened. First thing is that he went to the palace of Vasudeva. He had Vasudeva and Devaki arrested and put into a prison. And they were chained and shackled. Now, that was the first thing that he had done. Another thing he did was that he started a reign of terror. The reign of terror was that he began hunting down those demigods who had taken birth as Yadus. So when he began that, many of the Yadus, thousands and thousands of them, fled Mathura and went to other countries to live until at least Krishna would be born, Krishna would grow up, and Krishna would kill Kamsa. So until that time came, their life was in jeopardy. Some of them went and moved to caves, wherever they could find a hiding place. So that was the situation. Now, once Kamsa knew that all eight, as far as he was concerned, any one of them could be Lord Vishnu. So as Devaki gave birth each year, he, in a very, very barbaric fashion, grabbed the child from her and literally lifted it above his head and smashed it down on the stone floor, killing it in that most barbaric, most heinous fashion. And he had no qualms about it, because as far as he was concerned, he was killing his enemy, who was going to kill him. So what's the problem? A ruler has a right to kill his enemies, and that's what he felt he was doing, killing his enemies. So that happened six times. Seventh birth took place. They thought it was a miscarriage, but actually Yogamaya had taken the fetus from Devaki and transferred it to Rohini, who was already pregnant. And that fetus that Rohini had was aborted, and Balaram was placed in the womb of Rohini. So now, very shortly after, Krishna would appear. The important part of this is, when I said it was a bit ironic, I said it was a bit ironic because Narada Muni infuriated Kamsa so strongly, so intensely, that Kamsa then began to compulsively obsess on Lord Vishnu. He couldn't get him out of his mind. All he did, night and day, he turned, he tossed, he walked, he talked, whatever, he was always thinking of when Lord Vishnu is going to come. So, anyway, as the story moves forward, we will see that, as mentioned, Balaram was placed in Rohini's womb, who she was staying with Nanda Maharaj at his place, his farm. And then Krishna would appear. And then Krishna would be delivered to the home of Nanda Maharaj, and he would be exchanged for Yogamaya, Durga Devi, and brought back by Vasudeva to the prison. And there in the prison, the baby would then Well, I forgot the certain parts is that we find out that eventually Krishna is, he appears, and when he appears, he has all the dressings, he has the crown, he has the golden dhoti, a golden colored dhoti. He has all of these very wonderful, beautiful markings. This was, of course, done to enable Devaki and Vasudeva to know that, yes, he, the Lord, had been born. He had four arms. So then, at the behest of Devaki, she said, please hide these extra arms. Kamsa will see you, will want to kill you. And he did that. But just before he did it, he gave Vasudeva orders as to where he should be brought, and then Vasudev followed those orders. He took him over the Yamuna River and took him to Yashoda's home. Yashoda had given birth to a new baby girl, Durga Devi. And Vasudeva took the child, brought the child back to the prison, and the child began to cry. And all of the gatekeepers who had been placed asleep by Yogamaya, they woke up and they heard the crying and they told Kamsa. And Kamsa heard that Devaki's eighth child has appeared. His only thought was, now that person who's to kill me has been born. So he went down, down into the dungeon, entered the prison room, and saw the child. Devaki said, it's a girl. It's a female. It's not a boy. And he didn't even care about that. He said, maybe it's a boy disguised as a girl. I mean, that possibility was there. So he immediately took the child out of the arms of Devaki. He wrenched him. And then took the child and was going to again dash it as he had dashed so many others, smashing their heads on the stone ground. But what happened is that the female, Durga Devi, she flew up into the air, and she had all of her eight arms, and she looked really terrifying. So she said, the child who is to kill you has been born elsewhere. So leave your sister alone. So immediately, Kamsa cooled down a little bit. Although angry, nonetheless, he was able to control himself. He knew that Durga was an extremely powerful demigoddess. She's not like the ordinary demigoddess. She has this incredible degree of power. And he was definitely afraid of her, although he was not afraid of many other demigods. He felt they were his match, but not Durga. She could kill him instantly. So he acted very apologetically. And that was, and Durga, she disappeared into the heavens and would later take birth as Yogamaya, or Krishna's sister, Balaram's sister. And she would therefore then become known as Subhadra in the future. Okay? So I just wanted to get all the points, how they all sort of come together. Yeah. How all the points come together. And so now what happens is that, as I said, those six children whose karma it was to be killed by Kamsa. So Narada Muni, he facilitated that. That was his business. But he also facilitated something else, and that was the salvation of Kamsa. Because by infuriating Kamsa about his fact that he's to be killed by Vishnu and has been killed by Vishnu, and the feelings of vengeance that he had caused him to continue to think, to dwell upon, to obsess over Vishnu. So all he did is think about Vishnu. He couldn't stop thinking about him, even though it was in a manner or in a mood which we consider hostile or offensive. Nonetheless, the interesting thing about this is that even though it was offensive, by thinking about Vishnu, what happened was that his mind, his heart, his intelligence gradually became purified. Purified to such an extent that he was then qualified at the end of his life when Krishna killed him. Of course, Krishna killed him with the Lord looking at him. To be able to enter into the Vaikuntha planet and achieve Sarupya Mukti. So it shows us how powerful the name of Krishna is, the form of Krishna is, remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna, singing songs to Krishna, drawing pictures about Krishna. All of these are extremely powerful and they have a great transformative effect upon the covering over the soul. In other words, they act like a soap and they wash away the filthy covering. This is exactly what was happening to Kamsa. Slowly, gradually, the more he thought of Krishna. So that's a very interesting point. So what to speak of persons such as ourselves who are trying to be devotees, trying to be lovers of Krishna, trying to be dedicated completely so that we can always think of Krishna, as Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So, therefore, we want to be the close friend of Krishna. We want to be the servant of Krishna. By friend, I mean, I don't mean worshipping him in the mood of friendship, but the friend in the sense that we feel affectionate towards him. We want to serve him. We want to offer things to him. We want to glorify him. We want to honor him. And the more we do this, the more Krishna is pleased. The more Krishna is pleased, the more he graces us with his love, with his affection, with his warmth, with his kindness, his sweetness. And we in turn feel affection, not just for our close intimates, but for everyone and anyone. Because the more we feel this love that Krishna is giving us, the more we feel our own sense of who we are, namely the spirit soul. And feeling ourselves as spirit souls related to the supreme soul, we feel our connection with every other little ray of light of the supreme soul. So the result is that we feel more amity, we feel more calmness, we feel more kindness, we feel more affection, we feel more desire to want to do things, to share things, to offer things. This is the nature of Krishna's love. He's sharing himself everywhere and everywhere. And those devotees whom he's beaming down his grace upon, they also, like Srila Prabhupada, so wonderfully, he came here. And as we all know, he undertook and underwent very many difficulties, trials, tribulations, etc. He never considered he was doing anything special, really. That was never the idea, that I'm special, I'm great. He felt that he was doing what he should do, what Krishna wants him to do, what his spiritual master wants him to do. And in doing what they wanted him to do, that gave him his inner joy, his inner happiness, his inner sublime feelings. That I'm doing what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami wants me to do. I'm doing what Krishna wants me to do. And by doing it and risking, taking difficult risks, endangering his life, sometimes ruining his health, all those things he undertook simply because he felt that this world was in such jeopardy. It needed help. It needed guidance. It needed direction. It needed focus. And therefore he began writing so many wonderful books which have gone out in the millions. And people who've gotten these books, who read these books, well, we're here. We read them and that's why we're here. And that is his compassion. That is his affection. That is his love. That is God's love. That is Krishna's love. So we have a big debt. An unrepayable debt. A debt which is so high that we cannot see the end of it. And even when we start paying off the debt, our feeling should be, I haven't paid anything, because look, it goes up so high, I can't see the end of it. Therefore, whatever we do it out of love. And we do it in the hope that it will be done selflessly, without pride, without envy, without an attempt to put on a show, without an attempt to be admired, to be looked up to be applauded, to be glorified. Devotee, as he's developing purity and humility, his only concern is onefold. And that onefold is my body, my mind, my intelligence, my life, my soul. It all belongs to Krishna. And whatever I have received in the form of opulence have come from Krishna. So I am simply the servant, the messenger of the Supreme Lord, and nothing more. In other words, he feels himself very small, very insignificant, and enjoys that insignificance. So thank you very much. I think I've just about gone 2 minutes over. It's time for maybe one question. Yes, Prabhu. You're going to have to come closer, because I can't hear you too well. And there's not a mic. You don't have a mic. Somebody has a mic. Why don't you wait for the mic, and then we can maybe hear it a little better. Thank you.
Maharaj, Sarupya liberation, so when you merge into it, like when the demons like Kamsa merges into that, obviously in the Srimad Bhagavatam it also states that you actually, demons actually get into what is called the Brahma Jyoti. So how does that work? Do they eventually again come to this planet? Do they become devotees? What happens once you merge into the Brahma Jyoti, you know?
Well, Brahma Jyoti is it's not. You see, we can't standardize persons' results. Different persons get different results according to different activities that they perform. For example, even Shishupal, he got interesting results. He got his head cut off by Krishna, but ultimately he went back to Godhead because he had come down on a special mission here for three lives because he had been cursed by the four Kumaras. Now, a person may go, now, my understanding, according to the purport, is that he entered into the Brahma Jyoti, but that was only a stopover place. That was not his final destination. Then he went back to becoming a gatekeeper as either Jai or Vijay, you see. So, many enter into the Brahma Jyoti, stay there for some time, and come back to Earth and try to develop their more personal, loving, and kind, and affectionate types of aspects of their nature, which they don't have. They're full of hostility, you see. So many have that. I'll call you in a moment, Arjuna. I can see your hand. So many do that. And then there are some, as I said, they enter into the Brahma Jyoti, and they go beyond that and go into the Vaikuntha planets. In this case, we have Kamsa, who entered into the Vaikuntha planet as a and had Sarupya Mukti. He looked like the... But that was as a result of a certain amount of purification took place in that process of always thinking of Krishna. Okay? So there are different directions or different results for different devotees. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thanks for a very nice class. The question may be asked, why didn't it happen the first time?
Why did what?
Why did it not happen the first time? In other words, Kamsa as Kalanemi was killed by Vishnu. Why didn't he get liberated at that point? Why didn't he come back as Kamsa?
Yeah, I don't know the reason for that. Because I haven't read the reason as to why he didn't get liberated then. And I don't even want to hazard a guess, because it's known to the Supreme Lord, and I haven't seen it written down as to why he wasn't liberated then. The only thing I could say, and it's not a really a good answer, it just wasn't time yet.
One other thing, if you don't mind. You mentioned that gradually he was becoming purified by remembering Krishna. Yeah. But it doesn't seem that way, because he was inimical right up to the end. He was mad when Krishna killed Kuvalapida. He was mad when they killed the wrestlers, to the point where he himself decided, I have to kill him myself. And he came with a sword towards Krishna, and Krishna killed him in the wrestling arena.
Yes,
so it doesn't seem that he was getting purified. He was mad and opposing Krishna right to the very bitter end.
Yeah, the purification was coming in his you might call it, his endless meditation on Krishna due to his fear. that was going on continuously, and there was a purification. There are two aspects of his personality. There's internal, which is the purification which is going on. However, that internal purification has not manifested as a pure devotee, certainly not yet. That was to come later on when he goes up to the Vaikuntha planets and he's associating only with pure devotees. But until that time comes, the first thing is that he's still manifesting his Kamsa personality. And he's, as you said, he's angry, he's shouting, he's screaming, and all of these other things. But there's something else going on inside, and that inside is what has been developing, which he doesn't even know about, you see. He doesn't even know it. It's an inner purification, and it will manifest after he is killed. That's all I can say from that. Yes, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Great class. There must be something to this Kamsa thinking about Krishna unfavorably aspect, because it's always brought up. It's not just mentioned that Kamsa was
killed
by Krishna.
Can you talk a little louder, please?
It's always mentioned about how he was unfavorably thinking about Krishna, so that must have something to do with it, other than just that he was physically killed by Krishna. Must factor into the liberation there somehow.
Now, coming back to your first question, this is what has jumped into my head, if it has any value. Vishnu, yes, it was there, but Kalanimi, as far as I know, and I don't know everything about that, is that he was not meditating on Lord Vishnu. Vishnu was just one of the fighters in that particular battle, and Vishnu, he killed him in that particular battle. But as far as obsessing the way Kamsa did over a long period of time, actually, Krishna killed him when he was 11 and 3/4 years of age, but he looked 15, according to Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. So therefore, he had a lot of time to meditate on Krishna. And during that period of time, much purification took place. However, in this other situation, it was just a battle. And if I recall, Kalanimi threw something at Vishnu, and Vishnu, he threw it at Garuda, and then he caught it, Vishnu caught it and threw it back at him and then killed him in that manner. It was a rather quick death, as far as I can remember. Yes, sir?
But if I remember correctly, I think I've heard Prabhupada say that all the soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they got liberation.
Yes.
They weren't necessarily, like Kamsa thinking about Krishna obsessively
yes.
throughout their life, but I think it's if you get killed by Krishna or Vishnu, you get liberation. Thinking about him,
yes.
Not thinking about him. But
answer to that is that was Kali Yuga. We're talking about earlier yugas with Kalanimi. It goes way back. So the standard may have been a little different in terms of gaining liberation. As we know, in Satyayuga, persons lived 100,000 years, and they would take 60,000, 70,000 years to even gain liberation. Okay. Whereas now, a person, if he does everything right, it's possible that even in this one life, he can actually become liberated. It's actually easier in Kali Yuga because of the fact that the standard is actually... It's been lowered, and therefore the enablement is much more there. Yes, Mataji. This will be the last because I've been told that I should stop at 15, and this is I'm not going to respond, but go ahead.
I just want to make a comment. It does say in the Nectar Devotion that type of Krishna consciousness that Kamsa had, thinking of him, meditating him, is not recommended.
It's not what?
It's not recommended. It's unfavorable. So one should think of Krishna in a favorable way.
Of course, in a favorable way. It's not recommended at all. In fact, many people, I will just not say anything further. Thank you all very much. Glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.